On this episode of Monmouth Weekly, the month of February continues to roll forward, and it's Black History Month. University President Patrick Leahy and I spend some time talking with the director of the Intercultural Center on campus, Dr. Zanetta Rago-Kraft, about the different programs and initiatives Monmouth has to offer when it comes to diversity and inclusion. This is faculty member Matt Harmon. It's time for episode number 23 of Monmouth Weekly. Thanks, as always, for listening. It's another day of winter wonderland here at the Jersey Shore. Monmouth, however, is up and running, but it has certainly been another challenging start to another semester on campus. Good to be back with you. I'm faculty member Matt Harmon. This is episode number 23 of Monmouth Weekly. We've got a great show for you. But before we bring in our guest, I will welcome in my co-host. That is University President Patrick Leahy. And President Leahy, despite some snow last night and into this morning, campus is open today, but it has not been an easy start already with the weather wreaking havoc here at the Jersey Shore.
Good morning, Dr. Harmon. Good to be with you as always. Yes, add weather challenges, just as one more set of challenges that we're dealing with as a university community this year. I think we're up to it. I'm here in my office this morning, and the campus is clear. I got to hand it to our facilities team. You know, they are just once again answering the call. They've been up much of the night or early morning preparing the campus so that we can open on time. And this is on the heels of having to work on Super Bowl Sunday and then, you know, work all night the previous days before that. So shout out to our first-rate facilities teammates. But yeah, we're up and running. We are well into the spring semester. I feel positive about where we are. We're trying to keep caseload as low as possible in order to ensure health and safety for everyone involved here at the Monmouth University community. So it's going to be an interesting spring semester, as we've talked about in previous episodes, but I feel pretty positive about where we are right now as we launch our latest episode.
You know, President Leahy, just to follow up on the fact that, you know, with the weather that usually at some point comes during the course of the winter months, is it any easier this year to just say everything will be remote as opposed to on a day like today, making sure that the campus is open because so many classes are either online to start with or at least have that hybrid option?
Yes, it is. It is easier, Matt. I mean, we have to work out some policies around the conversion, you know, on a moment's notice to remote delivery. And those are legitimate challenges. I mean, we have faculty members who have elected this spring to be here on campus in person to teach that way. And I want to be really fair to them, you know, coming to them at the last minute and saying, just convert to online delivery. But because of the pandemic over the last year, all of our faculty members have gotten a lot more comfortable with online and remote delivery. So I do think that once we get those policies ironed out, it will be a lot easier for us in the future to convert to online delivery. I've broken it to my kids that the idea of a snow day, its time may have come and gone. So they're not very happy about that, of course, but I think all educational institutions now have a much greater facility to move online when necessary.
I will second that in the Harmon household. It's none too fun to wake up on a snow day and realize that you only have to log onto your computer instead of go outside and play in the snow. You know, leading into our guest here, which I'm really excited to welcome in, Zanetta Rago-Kraft, who is the director of the Intercultural Center on campus. And it seems perfect timing. You know, we always like to throw a guest in every once in a while. But now with February being Black History Month, and I can speak personally, it was a topic in my issues in sports and media class yesterday. We watched and discussed a Dear Black Athlete series that was done by ESPN a couple of years ago. And Dr. Rago Kraft, thanks for giving us some time here this morning. Really excited to kind of talk about what you do and the role that Monmouth plays in diversity and inclusion.
Good morning. Thank you both for having me on today.
You know, you think about it, and actually, it's so interesting that when you started your position back in the summer of 2019, Monmouth did not have the center or the position that you now exist in and oversee. Let me just start with what was it that kind of drew you to Monmouth from where you were working at places like Rutgers in New Brunswick, you know, spending some time at Ramapo in your undergrad and NYU with your graduate studies that got you here to Monmouth?
That's a really easy question to answer for me, actually. So I am from Long Branch, New Jersey. I was born and raised here. And Monmouth was very much in our backyard. And so it felt a bit like coming home in a way to help the university grow in this area. It's, you know, it's an area that I'm deeply passionate about. And as you said, I'm coming from an institution that has one of the oldest cultural centers on a college campus in the country. And I just felt it was a really great opportunity to marry my interest of giving back to my hometown in a way, and my expertise in diversity and inclusion efforts, particularly within the lens of cultural centers on college campuses.
President Leahy, I'm going to throw this to you. I mean, obviously, it does kind of run in conjunction with you starting your position that among the advisory committees, and one of your first moves was to have this intercultural center and bring Zanetta in. I'll ask you, what was it that you thought that it was so important that Monmouth have this position and this center?
Yeah, Zanetta and I had a chance to talk actually before either of us even officially started at the university, as I remember correctly, Zanetta. And we talked about diversity and inclusion and how important it is. And I hope Zanetta could feel the sincerity in my voice when we talked about it. It's such an important position. Over the last year, not only does Zanetta run the Intercultural Center, which is a center that will continue to grow and expand, not only physically, but in its terms of its programming. But I've also asked her to be advisor to the president on diversity and inclusion initiatives. I wanted to make sure that she had direct access to me and to our senior team. You know, all of our direct reports, those that report directly to me, meet on a very regular basis. And I just wanted to make sure that Zanetta's wisdom was present at all of our university decisions, not just those that could be sort of categorized as diversity and inclusion issues, but that she would be present and have a real say in all of the university decision-making. So she's holding down that dual role now.
You know, Zanetta, when you think of it from a perspective of starting something like the Intercultural Center on campus and then having COVID, like it has with everything else, throw a curveball, what have been the challenges in order to get some of the initiatives, programs, the idea of what it is the center is going to do for Monmouth? How much of a challenge has that been over the course of almost now the last 12 months?
It's certainly been a test of creativity. I cannot say enough how much a physical space is important to things like community building and fellowship and students, you know, organizing with one another and being in community. And so with that element semi-removed, right? I mean, we still have many students on campus, but they're utilizing the student center in a very different way. We've really had to pivot to virtual. And a big part of virtual is social media. And so I would actually say that we've had better attendance at some of our virtual programming than we did in person. So there are some silver linings to this virtual campus that we're or virtual programming that we've created with faculty, staff, and students across the campus. I mean, people are engaging from the comfort of their own homes or their own residence halls, and they're, you know, they're showing up more than they did sometimes even in person.
Go back to this past summer, President Leahy. I would imagine that when the decision was made to change Wilson Hall, which it had been for such a long time, to Great Hall, having a conversation with Zanetta, among others, but let's focus on that conversation that maybe you had with Zanetta, became really important and really paramount to the actual move of making the change.
Yeah, I know that we spoke multiple times around this. Zanetta, there were a lot of others around campus whose soundings I took, if you will, before bringing this decision to the board. I just had this feeling, Matt, that it was a symbolic obstacle to our sincerity around diversity and inclusion. You know, here you have this very complicated figure who, over the recent years, historians have clarified his record on race relations, and it's not a good record. That is Woodrow Wilson. And we just decided that it's an obstacle to making our community the diverse and inclusive place that we want it to be. And it's not the heart of the matter. I mean, the heart of the matter is the community that we create and that everything that Zanetta just said, that's the heart of the matter. But we just felt like if this is a symbol or some kind of obstacle to our creating that more fully, let's just do something about it. And I think, as we've talked about at previous episodes, it was a 10-day effort to, you know, walk this around the campus and to ensure our board members were comfortable with this decision. And I was so pleased to share with the campus community that when I took this to the board in June, it was a unanimous decision that the time was right now to convert the building's name back to its original name, which is simply the Great Hall. So that was a really good start, I think, to indicating our seriousness around diversity and inclusion.
Dr. Rago-Kraft, when you see Monmouth make that move, and again, your involvement of it, and we don't have to spend a ton of time, but something like that, a university, in this particular case, Monmouth, but I'm sure it's taking place and has taken place at other schools across the country. When you see them make a move like that, it does kind of bring two sides to the coin. You know, a spot like Wilson Hall had been Wilson Hall for so long, but then changing it and recognizing that maybe that name shouldn't be part of the administration building on campus anymore. Is that the right direction for colleges and universities to go in order to get the idea of hey, we need to move away from some of this stuff as we want to change and become a little bit more diverse?
Absolutely. I think every institution has their own sort of journey on the decision-making like that, because almost every campus has a name with a complicated or racist or homophobic or sexist history, right? And so I think what's important in this particular decision, it's not just about the changing of the name of the building, right? It's also about bringing to light that history, right? So you can remove a name from a building and restore its original name while contextualizing the name that you changed. And I think that is the core of what we are as a university, right? We are here to teach. And so you can bring in your campus to really more deeply understand that decision by contextualizing why the decision was made.
President Leahy, among the things that have taken place over the course of the last year to try and be more diverse, to try and be more inclusive, the university has tried to make steps in that direction. I know a new endowment fund by the Board of Trustees. Scholarships have been on the rise. You know, different things that maybe we should spend some time trying to highlight how the university is trying to make change?
I mean, you know, one of the things that for which I'm most proud is when I talked to the board back in June about the name change, and they endorsed that so fully. Remember, too, that just real quickly on the Great Hall, we're also going to make investments in this building to restore it as a hub of activity, a student-centric building on the campus. It once was in our history, and then over the years, it had become, as you said, the administration building. And I just felt like, you know what, we're not going to kick all of the administrators out of the building. I want to stay in this building, but I want to make sure that we put this great asset to use for the benefit of our students. So there's going to be more investment in the Great Hall to turn it into a hub of activity for our students and our faculty and staff. And that's going to be great for me personally, because if I keep my office here in the Great Hall, it'll be wonderful for me to be able to connect a lot more naturally with the students. So part of this is selfish, I guess. But the other thing, when I went to the board, I said, you know, we need to make sure that there are resources available on a sustaining basis to ensure that we have money available to support programming and other initiatives around diversity and inclusion. And if we're going to be serious about this, we ought to create an endowment. Bang, immediately, one of our board members said, I move that we create that endowment. I mean, I was just into my pitch, if you will, and a board member put it on the table, and it was basically, that was unanimously passed with even out much discussion, which I think was similarly evidence of the commitment of our board to diversity, equity, and inclusion. So that's the end. You know, again, it doesn't alone, a $3 million endowment alone does not fully fund our ambition in this area, but it's a great start. And for the board to make that move as quickly as it did, I think it just gives Zanetta and others around campus some comfort that there's going to be money available every year, irrespective of whatever other budget challenges we might have. There'll be money every year to support diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts here.
Zanetta, when you hear some of the things that Monmouth has done to try and make sure that they are not just gaining ground, but maybe staying ahead of the curve in terms of universities, colleges that want to promote inclusion, diversity. What's one of the things, or maybe one or two of the things, that you're most excited about that the university has gotten involved with since you took the position back in 2019 that you can kind of earmark for, this is a way for us to really make change?
Absolutely. I think I'm going to actually go back to the endowment piece, because as you know, it's tough fiscal times across the country for many colleges and universities. And I think the way we've chosen to use the endowment is really innovative. So a majority of the funds are going into a new program called the Diversity Innovation Grant Program. And what's great about that is that it helps to promote and fund and support excellence at every corner of the university, right? So anyone, students, faculty, or staff can petition this fund for seed funding to make their dreams come true, right? To help promote mentoring programs, or to bring in guest speakers, or to highlight different cultural events. And, you know, it's just a wonderful, wonderful way to make sure that everyone has a role and everyone has a part to play and the resources to do it. So I would say we just finished our first round of submissions, and, you know, we have more coming in every month. And it's just a very exciting project to be a part of. And I'm really excited to see what people do with this program.
University President Patrick Leahy, the director of the Intercultural Center on Monmouth's campus, Dr. Zanetta Rago-Kraft, giving us some time here. This is Monmouth Weekly. I'm your host, Matt Harmon. Zanetta, let me follow up with this, and this might be maybe a difficult question to do in one statement. looking forward for Monmouth, you talk about the things that are now the university is taking the steps to move forward, the endowment, different scholarships. President Leahy talked about the expansion of the Council on Diversity and Inclusion, ways to support what you're doing. What else does Monmouth need to do to, again, be at the forefront of and I'll just use the word change on campus?
Absolutely. So, you know, I think in a more sustained way, right, we have to take time to really look at what we are offering via the curriculum. I think that, you know, you can opt out. I always say this, right? So in terms of programming that is co-curricular, anyone can opt in or opt out to that, right? The one thing you can't opt out of as a college student is class. I mean, maybe some do, but hopefully most don't. And so really looking at the types of literature and histories and sciences that are offered within our classes with a lens of equity, diversity, and inclusion, making sure that we're creating spaces for critical reflection in the classroom. Because frankly, it's our moral imperative to do so, right? I mean, the role of a college or a university is to create change makers once they graduate, irrespective of field, right? And so to make sure that every student has a lens of anti-racism when they go into whatever field they choose to go into is something that I think really happens in the classroom.
All right. So from a perspective of, I'm going to follow that up for another one. How do you, as the director of the Intercultural Center, get the message? Because if I'm listening to your answer, it's not just the university from an administrative standpoint. More importantly, it's from a faculty standpoint. How do you get that message through to the faculty that the idea of talking about, encouraging, and being on the lookout for things or topics maybe to talk about diversity and inclusion?
Absolutely. So I guess I'll start with by saying we already have a pretty big group of faculty who have done this for years and who understand how to do it. We have a great collection of critical scholars in our faculty who are already very much practicing exactly what I just mentioned. I think a good part of what I'm thinking about moving into the future, though, is how to get people to understand the urgency around this who maybe aren't practicing this right now. So I think about the campus climate study as a really great example, or a really great tool, rather, to help people understand what students are experiencing both in and outside of the classroom, what their peers are experiencing. Our campus climate study, I think, helps to open up people's eyes a bit who maybe just didn't necessarily see themselves as part of this work yet. But I think once we are done with presenting that, will see their role in this work and partner with those incredible faculty that we already have on this campus to learn from them. I think that's something that's really important.
Great role in for President Leahy to comment, as Zanetta just talked about there, the campus climate study that the President's Advisory Council had put together, and they have obviously recommendations that they want to be part of. But President Leahy, when you look at things like the climate study on campus, what are a couple of things that strike you in terms of how Monmouth can change and become more diverse, become more inclusive?
Yeah, I mean, let me back up just a moment. It was presented to me, you know, not long after I started, this idea of conducting a climate study or a culture study, if you will. And I endorsed it immediately. I mean, it's easy for me in my first year to endorse it, of course. But I said, I want to understand where we are, because we can't understand where we need to go until we understand exactly where we are. And, you know, we were delayed a little bit with the onset of the pandemic, but we were able to conduct basically a study among two categories, you know, all of our students And then all of our employees, you know, faculty and staff. And we collected some very interesting information. I don't think it was terribly surprising to us what we learned. And I think we generally need to make sure that as our student population diversifies, we need to make sure that we're creating a culture here that where they can feel more comfortable, that it's a place where they can flourish. And one of the ways we need to do this is we've got to keep working to diversify the faculty and staff who are commissioned with serving that diversifying student body. And it's something we're going to have to really focus on in terms of the way in which we recruit faculty and staff and administrators. And it's embedded squarely in our upcoming strategic plan. But you know, to me, that's like the most real manifestation of improving our culture is let's make sure that those of us who are committing our lives to serving students, you know, represent as much as possible the students that we are, in fact, serving. And that's one of the big takeaways. We knew that, but we heard it in real ways from our students in the climate study. So my hope is that we get the results of the climate studies, we act on the study, and then that we go ahead and take it again 3 years from now to continue to measure our progress. And that's where we need to make sure that we are monitoring our progress, and it has to show up in the numbers. You know, I always say, whatever strategies you put in place, they have to ultimately show up in the numbers. And around campus culture, the numbers will be what are the how does the response to the climate study change over time? So we'll be committing again in our strategic plan to conducting that very same survey 3 years from now.
So Netta, wanted to spend a minute or two talking about, you know, even during a pandemic, and we're not quite halfway through the month, but talking about the different initiatives and different events maybe that Monmouth under the Intercultural Center's direction is involved with over the month of February, because it is Black History Month. What's taking place, and what are ways for people to become involved?
Yeah, there's so many opportunities to get involved, particularly because most of the programming is virtual. So unfortunately, you may have already missed two of our biggest events for the month. However, they are available via the YouTube channel at Monmouth University. We kicked off the month with a wonderful, wonderful panel focusing on the life and legacy of Dr. Walter McAfee, who, for those who might not be aware of his name, he's one of what I like to call our own hidden figures here on campus. He was prolific in his field and in his work outside of campus, particularly with Project Diana at Fort Monmouth, and getting the correct calculations for the moon bounce. And so he also spent his time teaching our students. And so we had this wonderful program of his former students sharing their stories via oral histories. And that was, you know, such a great way to honor his legacy, especially because there's a newly now endowed scholarship in his memory to help underrepresented students attend the School of Science. And so that was a great event. We had a great turnout, including many of his family members. And even just last night, we had Dr. Marie Melly out of Criminal Justice hosted an incredible program around, and a very relevant and timely one, around policing in communities of color and what it means to be a community-based policing and featuring faculty from across the state and outside of the state with this specialty, who really helped us to think through what transformative justice could look like. And, you know, coming up, what's great about Black History Month in the way that we've designed it is that it's coming from faculty, staff, and students. So you have everything from scholarly talks. We have one big event coming up from out of the Department of English on the Toni Morrison, and that'll be a whole day event. And we also have social programming from students. So we have some student organizations who are hosting a game night, you know, to get back to that community building piece in the next few weeks. And we're closing the month. And I think this is what's really exciting. I mean, it's all exciting. But what I'm probably most excited about is we're closing the month with a campus-wide book discussion on How to Be an Anti-Racist by Dr. Ibram X. Kendi, who, as some folks may know, actually joined us for our MLK Distinguished Lecture just last month. And so not only do we have scholars coming to campus, but we're also going to take time to make meaning of their work for us as individuals. And I'm very excited that that event is going to be open to faculty, staff, and students.
You know, your role, Dr. Rago Kraft, at the Intercultural Center as the director, and we have spent the better part of 30 minutes kind of talking about maybe more issues that have centered around Black History Month and the African community, the African American community. But you think of it, there's so much more to it, right? It's not just the African American Black students on campus. There's so many different groups that are probably looking for a voice and looking to be heard, and also so desperately want to be involved with the idea of inclusion, diversity, and change.
Absolutely. I wasn't sure about the question, but I mean, my answer is yes. And we work with so many different folks on campus. We really work closely with our Latinx students as well. And we're, you know, working with our LGBTQA population. And what's most importantly is we actually work with everyone, right? Because you don't just have to hold a historically underrepresented or marginalized identity to be involved with the center. We are a place of learning and allyship. And that means that anyone can come to learn to be an ally and to be in community with one another. And I think that's what's really great about an intercultural center is that it's not just focused on one identity or one experience. It's focused on them all and focused on creating a place where we can learn from one another.
Well, for not understanding the question, you just hit it out of the park with the answer, because that's exactly where I thought you were going to go. President Leahy, when you listen to that and trying to make sure that Monmouth is checking the boxes for all of the different groups, all of the different races, all of the different interests on campus, that's a challenge, but something that you as the president, the Board of Trustees, the administration is very committed to, correct?
Very committed to, first and foremost, because we think it is the right thing to do. We also think, given the way our student body is diversifying, I mean, we have to make sure that our institution is and is seen as a welcoming place where students from all kinds of backgrounds can come and be comfortable and flourish. I mean, that's our goal here at Monmouth. And as we look ahead, you know, I think there are so many things we can continue to do, some of which are just symbolic, like the changing of the name of our marquee building on campus, you know, supporting our student athletes who wanted to put Black Lives Matter on the basketball court. I just announced recently that the university will similarly be recognizing Juneteenth. That is June 19th, the day that the last of the slaves in America were freed. We're going to make that a university holiday here on campus. Those I think of as important, but nonetheless symbolic. And then there's real other more real things, if you will, as we talked about the creation of the endowment, a social justice academy that the School of Education is going to offer this summer for K-12 teachers and administrators from around the school districts in Monmouth and Ocean counties. The creation of an access fund, our marquee fundraiser of the year, which we'll host every year in October, aims to raise hundreds of thousands, hopefully someday over $1 million in one night dedicated to an access fund so that our financial aid staff has funds available to them every year to close gaps where they emerge so that we can make a first-rate private education as accessible as possible. And then lastly, we are looking at ways in which we can actually expand the physical space of the Intercultural Center. As Annetta said, it's the space is important because of the way in which that aids our ability to create community. We don't know exactly how we're gonna do that, but we're committed as an administration to find more space and better space so that all of the diversity of our student population and the faculty and staff who mentor them can find the space to be together and to create that fellowship that Zanetta mentioned. So I think there's so many things sort of both symbolic and non-symbolic that we intend to pursue in the years to come.
University President Patrick Leahy, Dr. Zanetta Rago-Kraft, the director of the Intercultural Center at Monmouth University. Thank you both so much for your time this morning. First, Zanetta, this was a great discussion. I look forward to having you back on because even during the course of Black History Month, as February is, there will certainly be plenty of opportunities for us to bring you back on and be able to talk of some of the other initiatives that take place on campus. And we will certainly do our best to promote those on our podcast here at Monmouth Weekly. But again, thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thank you.
President Leahy, fantastic episode as always. Very, very poignant and great timing with Zanetta coming on this morning. Good luck with the rest of the weather that's expected to come in the next couple of weeks. Keep campus open because I like coming in my hybrid classes and seeing my students.
We'll do the best we can. As you know, that's out of our hands, but we'll do the best we can to keep the campus open this spring. And I'm looking forward to a really, really positive spring semester here at Monmouth. And while I have the chance, I just want to thank Zanetta for her unyielding commitment to diversity, equity, and inclusion and making us here at Monmouth just a better representation of ourselves. So my thanks to you, Zanetta, for everything you do for Monmouth.
For more information on any of the programs that involve the Intercultural Center, go to monmouth.edu. You can look up Dr. Rago-Kraft on the website and contact her directly for any information that you might want. I want to thank President Leahy, as always, Zanetta Rago-Kraft, and I am, of course, Matt Harmon. Thanks for giving us part of your time and your day here at Monmouth Weekly. We look forward to getting episode 24 for you in the next couple of weeks. And as always, if you've got questions, comments, concerns, feel free to contact myself or President Leahy. For now, thanks as always for listening.